Today is Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of the season of Advent. And the symbol of this Sunday is the rose-colored candle in the Advent wreath and the vestment that I'm wearing today. And I guess rose is a lighter color of purple because Gaudete Sunday is supposed to be a lighter day of celebration in the midst of the semi-penitential season of Advent. The word Gaudete comes from a Latin word which means to rejoice. And the reason the Sunday is called Gaudete Sunday is the opening psalm that is sung in Latin is a passage from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, where St. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice." You know, the Christian joy is a joy that comes from our relationship with God, who is always merciful towards us. And the reason we rejoice is because we have a God who loves us and forgives us, and a God who comes close to us, which we will be celebrating in a very special way at Christmas time. So I ask you to check your hearts today. Are you rejoicing as we prepare for Christmas, or are you just tired, worn out already? Tired of the rush and busyness of the secular season that's around us. We need to find space in our lives to rejoice in the Lord. I would suggest a very good way to experience that is to go to confession sometime between now and Christmas, because confession is the moment where we meet the mercy of Jesus in the clearest kind of way. And he gives us a fresh start with our lives, and that's always a time to rejoice. So make that a part of your Advent reflection, whether or not it would be good for you to go to confession sometime between now and Christmas. Our first reading today is from the Old Testament, as always, and it prepares us to hear today's gospel. This is a passage from the prophet Isaiah, who is the primary prophet of the Advent season. And he's writing to Jewish people who are in a second slavery. The first slavery was to the Egyptians in Egypt. Do you remember that? The Jews were slaves in Egypt, and God led them through the Red Sea to the Promised Land. Because of their sins, it happened all over again to them. The Babylonians took the Jews who had rebelled against God as their slaves into Babylonia. And God sent the prophet Isaiah to promise them a new exodus, a new time in their future when they would go back home. A time when the Messiah, the chosen one of God, would come. And in this reading, we find a description of messianic times. This is what it's going to be like when the Messiah comes. "Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you." Then, at that moment of the coming of the Messiah, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be cleared, then will the lame leap like a stag. A stag was a deer. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. So the sign of the presence of the Messiah in the world were those wonderful transformations from sadness to joy, from sickness to health, from darkness to light. And the church gives us this reading to prepare for today's gospel. So I'll skip over the second reading and come back to it in a minute, but let's look at today's gospel reading. John the Baptist is one of the patron saints of the Advent season. The two Christian characters that we're supposed to imitate in the Advent season are Mary, the mother of Jesus. In her pregnancy, she waited for 9 months for the birth of the Savior. And Advent's a season when all of us are to imitate her, her patient waiting with expectation that God is really going to come to us and make a difference in our lives. The second patron saint of the Advent season is John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, who was a prophet, who spent most of his life in the desert, but in this particular reading, he's in jail. And the reason he's in jail is because he dared to criticize the king who had taken as his own wife the wife of his brother. And John the Baptist objected to that, and the king and his wife got upset and put John the Baptist in jail. So what you're supposed to imagine as you hear this reading is John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, who baptized him in the River Jordan, who saw him as the Messiah, in jail for a long time, wondering why he doesn't do something. Why doesn't Jesus do something? Why doesn't he come and save me? Why doesn't he show himself to be the Messiah? And with those questions in his mind, it tells us when John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question. Go, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And the disciples went and asked Jesus that question. And in response, the scriptures tell us, Jesus said in reply, go tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. You know, Jesus in this passage is identifying himself with the prophecy of Isaiah of the characteristics of the coming of the Messiah into the world. The blind see, the lame walk, and you know, all those wonderful things that Jesus did. And he said, blessed are those who aren't scandalized by me. He's saying to John, now listen, I may not be what you expected, but blessed are you if you wait patiently for the revelation of God. Now, how do we apply this to our lives? You know, to prove that he was the Messiah, Jesus didn't say, look at me, I'm a result of the virgin birth of Mary, my mother. He didn't say, I'm a descendant of King David, which proves that I'm in the line of the one to be the Messiah. As proof of the presence of the Messiah in the world, Jesus pointed to transformations of the lame walking, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing. And I think one of the ways we can apply this gospel to our lives today is if we who are the body of Christ want to be the presence of Christ in the world in which we live, we have to get busy about doing these good things, transforming the world, making it a better place, a place of justice, a place of goodness, a place of peace, a place of brotherhood and sisterhood. And if Jesus hasn't come again, perhaps one of the reasons he hasn't come again is the fact that the world isn't ready for his coming, because you and I haven't done our part to make the world ready for the coming of Christ. He expects us to be his hands and his voice and his love in the world, to help the blind and the deaf and the poor and the sick, to be the presence of Christ to them. So it's a great challenge Jesus is giving us in this gospel to be his disciples in the world in which we live. Today's second reading is from the letter of St. James the Apostle. And for us to understand this and its application to the season of Advent, we have to think a little bit about the early days of the church. You know, a characteristic of the early church was the expectation that Jesus would come again before they died. You know, Jesus promised that after his resurrection, he would return in glory. And there was an anticipation on the part of the early church that he would come soon. In fact, one of the prayers of the early church was the prayer Maranatha, which is a Hebrew phrase that means, come, Lord Jesus. And this was a prayer that they prayed often. I'm often wondering how many of us here pray that prayer in our church today, that we long for the Lord to come into the world to transform it and make it his own. I don't think we pray that prayer very often, because I think we've given up on the thought that he's even coming again most of the time. We say it, of course, every Sunday when we profess our faith with the creed, that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the judgment at the end of time and life everlasting, but we don't actually give much thought to that in our daily life as Christians. So for us to understand this reading, we have to understand that expectation that the early church had for the coming of Jesus. And what happened? He didn't come. You know, the apostles began dying. A new generation of Christians was coming up that hadn't experienced Jesus when he walked the earth before his resurrection and ascension into heaven. And because of this, people began to doubt, and they began to complain about Jesus being faithful to his promises. And it's into that community that the Holy Spirit invited, through his inspiration, St. James to write these words. Now listen to the words. St. James says to the early church, and he says to us, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You too must be patient. Make your hearts firm, because the coming of the Lord is at hand." Patience. And God is patient with us, and we're invited in this reading to be patient with God. Now, patience isn't a virtue that many of us cultivate today. And at least I know for myself, it's very difficult to be patient. We are people who want things to be done immediately. An example of that was this morning. You know, I had some time on my hand before my first Mass at St. Cyprian Parish, and I love to read, and every Saturday I read the book reviews of the Wall Street Journal to see what books I want to order. And this morning I found actually three of them. That's too much, actually. You know, I buy more books than I read. But what I did was I went to the web pages, and I found Amazon.com, and I ordered the book, and in 30 seconds I had three books in my Kindle reader. I didn't have to go to the store. I didn't have to wait till it arrived in the mail. I had it like that. And that's the way I want God to act in my life. I want him to give me what I want when I tell him to. Instead of being obedient to God and following what he tells me I should do, I often give God instructions on what he should do and when he should do it. And I think that's pretty typical of Christians today. We live in a very rushed society. And that's especially true in Philadelphia. One of the characteristics of this city, you know, I moved here 2 years ago, and I'm still getting used to things, but when I moved here, I had to learn how to drive much faster in the city than I drove in Denver. And people talk a lot faster here than they have anywhere else I've ever lived. You know, we live in a city where everything is rushing, and we get caught in rushing in what we do and what we say, even the way we talk and the things that we say. But the Advent season is a time about not rushing, a time to value the meaning of our time, which is a gift that God has given us, and to spend that time preparing ourselves for the second coming of Jesus into the world. You know, the first 3 weeks of Advent are really about Jesus coming again at the end of our lives and at the end of time. And the church is asking us to spend some time thinking about that and preparing ourselves for his coming. And then to commit ourselves to prepare the world around us, to be engaged in the world, in changing things, in working for justice, in transforming society. That we should be the leaven of the gospel in the communities in which we live. Christians are not to be passive as they prepare for the coming of God. We're to be very active in changing ourselves, but also in working to change the world in which we live. We ask the Lord to help us embrace the spirit of Advent in the next 10 days. Christmas is just 10 days away. The fourth week of Advent is just a half a week long this year, so we don't have much more time to prepare. But let's ask the Lord to give us a grace so that when we celebrate Christmas, we will do that attentively, awake and watching for the way the Lord comes into our lives today.